He's very excited about Thanksgiving. Today's scripture comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please join me as we pray. God, we thank you for this time that we can come together after a week of stuffing ourselves full and celebrating with friends and family and just remembering all the blessings that you've so richly given us. And now we get to come to a time of Advent, a time of quiet and reflecting and preparing our hearts for that day of Christmas when you chose to come and walk among us and be with us. God, help this season to be one that fills us up, that renews us, that reminds us that the kingdom of heaven isn't just something that we can wait for one day to come, but something we get to experience all around us every day. God, may these words be ones that come from your lips and into our ears. May we experience your presence. In your name we pray, amen. This year, I'm going to do it better. That's what I've been telling myself. I promised myself after last year's Christmas that it would be much different this year. Last year, Beth and I were blessed with three young ones in August, which meant by Christmas, we still weren't ready for them, which meant we still weren't ready for Christmas. We got all the lights out, we got a tree up, we made cookies. Except in the past, we did this by ourselves, and it was peaceful, and it was quiet, and it felt lovely. And now we had ornaments broken, and presents mysteriously unwrapped before Christmas morning, and cookie dough that was eaten, and now there weren't enough cookies. And our life was a lot more hectic. Next thing I knew, it felt like there was a tornado of red and green that had come through our house, and Christmas was done, and I'd managed to miss the whole thing. And I said, this year it's going to be different. We've had a year to get being parents under our belt. We've had a year to get the kids used to us and for us to get used to them. They still don't behave because they're 3 and 4, but maybe we can get the Christmas presents to stay wrapped and make some cookie dough. We'll have some extra so they'll eat some this time and we can be ready. We can actually be ready for Christmas. I even broke Mom's cardinal rule of not having any Christmas before Thanksgiving and started listening to Christmas carols about a week and a half ago, and I even saw a little bit of Rudolph on Tuesday on whichever channel it was that it came on, thinking, okay, maybe if I just start earlier, I can get that Christmas feeling. I'll actually be ready, and I can have those warm and fuzzies, and we can get the kids to bed, and Beth and I can enjoy some hot cocoa, and it'll actually feel like Christmas this year. And then I started getting ready for this sermon, and I was excited. It's a sermon on hope. That's what the first week of Advent is. And I thought that we would be able to share the hope of Christ and of his coming and being among us. And I looked at what the readings were, and Paul decided to talk about the dangers of drunkenness and debauchery, and that we never know when the end is near. And it didn't seem very hopeful. I'm more of a, this is the most wonderful time of the year with Mr. Andy Williams, and Paul seems more of a Blue Christmas with Elvis Presley type guy. And I wasn't sure what to do with it. Because we want to put on the mantle of joy in this season. We don't want to put on sackcloth and ashes and be mournful. We want to put on the glitter and the windows and the lights and the trees and the wrappings and the trimmings and Paul seems to want us to have a little bit of guilt, a little bit of darkness. In the midst of such a wonderful time of celebration, Paul is telling us that it's not quite ready to celebrate. And this is probably why Advent is one of the hardest times for faithful Christians. Because we're called to hold off on celebrating Christmas for just a little while. And we're to embrace the silence and the cold before we get to hear the carols and the presents and the glow of that one Christian holiday that almost everybody seems to enjoy. And I want to ask Paul, why should we put on these colors of the solemn just as everyone else around us is putting on the most festive colors of the year? And in the reading, I see that Paul is telling us that this is a time to be prepared. To know that our lives as Christians are not just measured by when we show up in church or whether we follow certain rules, but it's also how we live our ordinary lives. It's measured by how we eat and how we drink and how we live and work together. Our faith is about how Jesus Christ, who was born into this world as a small spot of light in the midst of darkness, helps us to believe. And not just believe, but actually live a life that shows that we believe. That the love and the forgiveness and the redemption and the hope that we have in God has a part in every choice that we make on every day of the calendar year. And this sense of preparation, of not knowing when it is that we need to be ready, isn't something that he says trying to scare us into being ready all the time. It's meant to remind us that the kingdom of heaven isn't just a time when God's coming back in some distant future, but that we need to be ready now, because the kingdom of heaven is among us, even when we don't always expect it. And we need this reminder because we all know that in our regular lives, it feels like we're always distracted, like there's deadlines and debts and there's death and there's broken relationships and there's addictions and there's all sorts of tough life situations that make it hard to remember the light. It's easy to see the darkness, to live like there's only darkness, to see that maybe it feels like the darkness is won. And while singing Christmas carols and hanging mistletoe may help us feel better for a little while during the Christmas season, it doesn't actually prepare us for the gift of God's kingdom being here among us. And so Paul reminds us that before we can celebrate the arrival of Christ, first we must get ready for him. The armor of light that he talks about is one that was made for us, and so it's not that it's not on us already. It's that first we have to get rid of some things. He says that we have to get rid of the works of darkness. So before we can put on the joy, we need to take off those things that are in the way. We have to take off the fears and the pains that weigh us down, like heavy wool coats that we try to wrap around us and hold back the darkness. We have to take back those feelings of isolation, whether they come out of habit of just being alone for so long, or whether the isolation comes because we just can't imagine letting anyone else in anymore. It's the time to take the blinders off that keep us from realizing that every day there are those around us who don't have anything to put on for the holidays. They're not getting to go to parties. They're not getting to wear warm clothes. They're not getting to wrap themselves in joy and family. And while we're at it, it's also a time to take off our guilt. Because Christ coming among us is an eye-opening experience that's not meant to shame us, not to make us feel bad for everything that we have, but being called into sharing all that we have because we've been blessed with so much. It's about getting to take off the burden of saying we have so much and letting it become a source of plenty for others so that their joy and our joy may be merged with one another. And I think each of us probably has our own addictions and illusions and things that we need to let go of. The pressure to try to be perfect during the holidays, especially when everyone else seems to be so happy. The striving to be something that we're not. Those little grudges that come up when you get a bunch of family and friends together that you can ignore when you get to live hours apart. Advent preparation isn't about skipping everything and getting right to the joy of Christmas. It's about going right through the middle of the darkness and dealing with it so that we might see the fullness of the light and not just some dim version of it. In order to cast away the darkness, we have to get a really good grip on it. We have to be able to strip off what we would normally hide. After all, Mary and Joseph didn't get to just see a baby Jesus in a manger. They had to travel before they got to Bethlehem. They had to be kicked out of an inn and find a place for him to be. The shepherds didn't get to stand in awe of their Savior until they had their wits scared out of them by a couple of angels and left their sheep and traveled through the dark into the middle of a town. The wise men didn't get to lay their gifts down in front of the baby until they traveled through the Middle East, across a continent, to stand in front of the little babe. And we too can't just go and stand before Jesus and celebrate until we've taken our journey, until we've walked through our mess, so that we can lay everything that we have in front of him, and not just the best, hoping that he won't see the rest of our lives. Because the true light and the true joy that we're getting ready for is not something that we create or find. It's something that comes when we have prepared ourselves and we are ready and we are waiting. To put on the armor of light is to rejoice that we have marched right into this darkness and found that we are not alone. That God did not leave us here on this dark, forsaken planet to wander it by ourselves, but he came to be with us in the midst of our hurt. We will not be left in suffering. He has come to meet us with his hope and his peace and his love. And the moment that we bear our true hearts and true souls is the moment that we find we are suddenly clothed with a kind of joy that all the sparkle of this season cannot imitate. That's when we get to put on the party that is Christmas, but not before we take the time to prepare. And so for the next 4 weeks, we remind ourselves to take off those little things that cover us in darkness, to throw off everything that hinders. And we take the time to light a little candle so that one by one we may see a glimmer of the light that is to come. And with the glow of Christ's love and peace and joy, we can see it shine through the darkness and we can begin to embrace the celebration. This year, I'm going to do it better. But I'm not going to do it better because I started a week and a half earlier than my mom lets me. I'm not going to do it better because my kids are magically going to stop whining, even though that would be the greatest Christmas present God could ever give me. I'm not going to do it better because I'm actually going to get our Christmas tree up a couple of weeks ahead of time. This year, I'm going to take the time to prepare myself. I'm going to look inward and see where my darknesses are and face them. We're going to gather as a family and we're going to sing Christmas carols and we're going to see where we are messed up and where we need to let God in more. As Advent comes, join me on this journey towards a celebration. Don't rob yourself by jumping right to Christmas. Don't settle for a cheap imitation. Take the time to experience the fullness of Christ. Take the time to travel through Advent, through the darkness, so that we may experience the full glory of what this season is about. This year, we can do it better. Our closing hymn is hymn number 77, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Today, the altar will be open for anybody that decides they need to make a decision, that you decided that you're finally ready to accept this Jesus as your Savior. Or if you decided you've been doing this God thing on your own and you need a church family and you think that this is a place to do it at, then come forward. Or if you just need a place to sit and drop some of the darkness that's on you and leave it at the altar so that you may see some of God's light, it's open as well. Please stand and join me as we sing.